Welcome to American Players Theater Portable Prologues. I'm Buzz Kemper, and I invite you to enrich your Play in the Woods experience by joining Orin Schroeder as she speaks with actors Nate Berger and Elise Dickerson and director James DeVita about APT's 2022 production of Hamlet by William Shakespeare.
Welcome to the Portable Prologue for Hamlet. We have with us Jim DeVita, who is the director, Nate Berger, who's going to be playing Hamlet, and Elise Dickerson, who is Ophelia. And I wanted to start by asking about this year's Hamlet. Hamlet has been performed many times through APT's history, and in 2003, Jim DeVita played the title role. So I think everybody wants to know, how are you going to be approaching Hamlet in 2022?
Is that a question to me?
I think that would be great for you to start with that.
I kind of approach it like I do. This may sound odd, but I approach it like any other play. I think you can hold a little too much reverence around a play. Of course, this is Hamlet, and we all know that, and that's one of the first things I think you have to get past, is like, it's a well-structured play, and to tell it with as much clarity and vividness as we can. But it's really, you know, it's a play which is made by whoever your Hamlet and or your Ophelia is. There isn't a character Hamlet. There's no character Ophelia. It's a name and words on a page, and when you get the personality and the heart of that person mixing with those words, then we in the audience, we say, oh, that's the character. So I'm approaching it trying to enable the cast, not only my Hamlet and Ophelia, but also everybody in the cast, to bring themselves fully to the play. And in that way, it can't help but be unique rather than trying to do anything unique with it, if that makes any sense.
And Nate, have you always wanted to play Hamlet? And if so, why?
No. I think just to speak to exactly what Jimmy just said, there's a lot of baggage with this play. And there are scores and scores of texts that are as didactic as, you know, when Warner played the role, on this line, he lifted his left hand to the heavens. And it's like, good Lord, there's just so much prescriptive information that's available to you. It's like, it's overload. And I also think that, like, when I was younger, I didn't feel confident enough to take it on. I thought it sounded way too scary. It sounded way beyond my ability. And I think I was backloaded with all of the information about it being Hamlet, about what it is. Mm-hmm. I remember actually when I was an apprentice here, having a conversation with Will Mobley where he was like, I just really want to play that role. And I was like, oh, please explain to me why. And now that I feel a little more able and confident in my ability, and I feel a little more comfortable with who I am as a person and as an adult and as an artist, I feel better prepared to do it. And I'm also in a place where I'm like, I feel super comfortable ignoring all of those texts that tell you how to do it. So that's where I'm at now, and I feel excited about getting to play it.
Jim, does that resonate at all with when you played the role?
Well, gosh, that was so long ago. I'm glad somebody remembers that. It wasn't on the top of, you know, of dying to do it. I mean, when I was confronted with it, maybe that's the word, when David Frank. And of course, the same thing. I think I was less prepared than Nate is. I was very conscious of, I remember I was still not happy with the first line to this day, 20 years later, I'm not happy with scenes that I, so I've blocked them out of my memory. but I was, you know, I was young too. I wasn't young in age, but I was young in experience because I started late. And so yes, that was, it was a wonderful opportunity. And it's a long time ago now. I don't even remember it really.
Elise, you played Lady Macduff in the Scottish play in 2019, and then of course the pandemic hit. How different is it to be back at APT this year and playing Ophelia?
It is different. I mean, what isn't? I really loved that 2019 was my first year here. I guess it was like the last normal year that APT had. So I was just really blessed to, I had really big, like, just happy to be here energy when it came to the Scottish play. And I got to know Jimmy and the way he worked and the world that he set up. And they're obviously two, I think, vastly different women. But both have the something similar between the two experiences, I would say, is trying to find the agency for these women that isn't necessarily normalized in what we've seen or even normalized on the page. So for like Lady Macduff, Jimmy had set it up so that we were all like warriors, like we could all, you know, kick ass and take names. And so I was like, how can we make her, how can we get her to do that? And we did that and we worked together. Now for Ophelia, that's a different story. Every day, I just said this yesterday, it's probably this is like the hardest role I've ever, hands down, ever done. It comes close to some other things, but in process, I'm like, yep, this is the most difficult. Just because she's not necessarily, like I said, written or normalized to have a lot of agency or backbone. And I think Jimmy cast me because I have both of those things. And so every day is that journey for with Ophelia. And I'm hoping, because she just deserves it, the character just deserves some backbone and deserves agency, but she's not necessarily written that way. So it's a little difficult, but yeah, I'm excited for the task.
And to pick up on what you said about the world that was created for the Scottish play, I'm really curious about Takeshi Kada's design for Hamlet, and he did the design for Hamlet in 2003 when Jim played the role. So I'm wondering what is the design concept for this year?
Yeah, and Tak also did the last one too, which was yep. with the. So he's done all three Hamlets in the last 30 years here.
In this century, Tak has designed every Hamlet at APT.
Well, Tak is always, I love his work. We've always worked, done most of my work with Tak. He's, because he usually makes one large gesture. And I remember when I did it, there was nothing but a bare stage and a rock. That was it. There was nothing else on the stage. A downright rock and a wide open space on a rake. This one, I'm talking with Tak, and I was just interested in something we don't do often at APT, which is more than one level on the stage, because for many reasons, it's very difficult to do. But I kept on seeing, I kept on hearing all the references to the ramparts and the castle walls. And I also wanted an Elsinore that was kind of a oppressive, even if it's a look, this kind of pressure, like kind of looming above the humans in this play. So we came up with the thing, we have two levels on it. It's basically a huge bridge that will be coming across the stage, and underneath are a series of steel panels that open up and close. There's six of them that can go in different configurations. So it's meant to feel hard and industrial and kind of oppressive. And I think it's some of the, at least in my plays, the most impressive work that I've seen Tak do. His work is always brilliant, but we're often with much simpler, but it is still a simple one single gesture, but it's massive. And I think it will be very interesting with the humans that we put in front of that.
What about the costumes to go with the set?
Yeah, the costumes are they're kind of a mix of silhouettes. It's not today, and it's not far in the past either. So it's a mix, just like the humans on the stage are a mix. So I think the audience will enjoy the visual production of this also.
And what role does the audience play in seeing Hamlet? You'll have people in the audience who have seen it before. You'll have people who have are coming to it without even having read the synopsis. Nate, what do you take from the audience?
Everything. I think that, I mean, I hope and expect that the audience will be my most important scene partner, because they both bear witness to everything that Hamlet does and are his confidant for everything that Hamlet thinks. They're the only people who get to experience the soliloquies that he has in the same way that he does, or at least in as intimate a way as he does. So I don't know. I think they're, they're the most important touchstone for him through this story. And so I don't know yet, because I haven't done it with an audience. But that's my, that's what I'm expecting and what I'm praying for, is just to be able to dig in with them. I don't know. Jimmy's played it.
Jim, do you have a comment on that? I think that you had actually mentioned in the prologue up the hill that you thought the audience was essential to this experience.
Oh yeah, I mean there is no play without them, and there's they are, at the best, they are actually proactive participants in this play. Again, because they, as Hamlet, if you choose to, you get to share all of your most inner secret thoughts with them. There, it's a very intimate relationship with the audience. And they actually went, my memory of it, I've not done this a lot. I don't think I have, Nate, when I played the role. Because most of I remember is where I was not happy with, so I've not brought that up into rehearsals a lot. But they certainly helped to keep me out of my own head, because you're actually talking to human beings in those soliloquies. And they often, they react. They either smile or don't, turn their eyes down. Sometimes they'll say something. And that's in that way, it's a wonderful kind of improvisational feel that can happen if you're open to playing that as the actor. Nate is wonderful at that. So I think you're going to have some wonderful surprises, Nate, when you start talking to the audience.
Okay. And I suppose that's kind of unique to Hamlet, isn't it, that there are a lot of soliloquies, whereas many contemporary plays wouldn't use soliloquy as a means of communicating. Mm-hmm. It would all be dialogue with other characters.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about Hamlet as a play and the themes of love and revenge. Which, which theme do you find most important, and how does your character pursue that?
I think they're inextricably linked. I don't think one is more important than the other. I think that revenge is a dark passenger to love. I think that it's an idea of justice that is born out of something beautiful and gets diverted into something that is antithetical to justice in a lot of ways, because it's just something that perpetuates a cycle of violence, vengeance, that is. So I don't know as if I think one of them is more important a theme than the other. I think they sort of do this thing where they fold over each other in ways. It's like an Escher painting, you know, like those two themes just sort of fall into each other in this really interesting, inextricable way.
And certainly family love is an important part of it, as well as the relationships between, for instance, Ophelia and Hamlet. Mm-hmm. Elise, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, literally everything Nate said, I was just going to add the word justice in there as well. I think it's love, revenge, and justice, and kind of the mirage of justice as well, which yields revenge or vengeance. I think for the Ophelia family, it's nothing but love, really. It's something I'm clinging to for Ophelia But it, again, feels like that Escher painting. It kind of feels like a Rubik's Cube, that you can't really move one without the other. So you'll see us try to play that well, but it does it, you know, by itself.
And why is Hamlet relevant in 2022?
I also have commentary here.
Okay, go ahead, please.
It's kind of my same response to what role the audience plays. And I'm totally leaning into the reverence of Hamlet. Hamlet is the play, you know, like Hamlet's the play. And there is, I think, relevance in almost all of Shakespeare's works. But the coolest thing, I think, in 2022 is that we get to witness this play in 2022 and what it might mean in 2022 and what the casting might represent in 2022 and what stories the audience walks away with. It's kind of ancestral, you know. Folks have been showing up to see this play for years and years and years and years and years, and here we go and get to do it again. So there's a special little star above this production, I think, in that way.
Yeah, my friend Nathan, who's played the role, my best friend, who also shares my name. I'm not a weirdo. I was talking to him about it a little while ago, and he's like, there's a reason this one works so well, and the reason that we keep coming back to it and have done it for 400 years, because it can very plausibly apply to now, and also it is so much bigger than now. Like, it holds both those things. It is ancient and current. And like, there is the plausibility of applying our nowness to it. And then there is also the sort of greater task of applying our larger humanity to it. And so I think our job is to do both of those, and the audience's job is to pull out both of those in whatever way is pertinent for them. And let's have a conversation afterwards.
Jim?
Yeah, well, they both just put it so articulately. The thought that came up in my head when Nate was speaking is that the audience meets this play wherever they are in their lives. And that's not just age, gender, or race. It's about where the world is, too. So we come into this setting as a community. And again, this is the play. We talked a lot in this play about inheritance. And the play is, when you said ancestral, at least I love that image. I think of this play as part of our inheritance of humankind, and it's been passed down to us. And there's something wonderful about that. Mm-hmm. And if you work it back, it's all come all the way down from the Greeks. We can keep going back.
Yeah.
And we listen to this in the community and the way the world is today, and it will resonate differently. You don't have to try and make the play be relevant, or you can't. You don't have to try to make it resonate. It will. And that's part of the reason it's been around for 400 years and more. And again, everybody, you know, again, that's what I love about these plays. And if you see Hamlet three times in 30 years, as people have seen it here, it will sound different to them. It will resonate differently to them. And that's the brilliant of great works of art, be them paintings or music or theater.
And this will be the first Shakespeare for many students. And I imagine that that's quite exciting to introduce them to Shakespeare in such a profound way. Are you looking forward to student matinees?
I love student matinees. I love student matinees. I mean, I also haven't ever had to do this much in a student matinee, so we'll see how I feel when we get there. But, because sometimes doing it at 9:30 a.m., you're like, oh, good Lord. But I think it's, my wife Laura did Romeo and Juliet in Montana Shakespeare in the Parks. And she always tells this story about doing that play for small communities and people who don't know the story. And like, it being like the end of that movie, Shakespeare in Love, like she woke up as Juliet and all the kids were like, and like to go and confront an audience that is impressionable with a story that is timeless and that they don't have enough information about to get ahead of is just like this gorgeous, gorgeous gift. And And then to just be able to discuss it with them afterwards and be like, what do you guys, like, what does this age bracket pull out of this play is always instructional as well. Like, okay, great. That's what this group of people is pulling out of this. And it's always something that I didn't expect. And it's always something that I take and use. So I'm stoked about student matinees. I love that. It's a great, wonderful responsibility.
Well, and like Romeo and Juliet, this one has a protagonist who's a young person. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to the students in a particularly personal way, I would think.
Yeah, with a difficult relationship with his mother and a father who, like, it's about his parents and it's about grieving and it's about, like, dealing with stuff that you're not ready for. And
obedience.
And obedience, yep. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to hook into as a teenager or as a student with this play.
Yeah. I'm really excited for student matinees because I've been teaching for the past year here at APT. Yeah. So I'm really excited to see some of the students on stage that I've had that I got to know in the classroom. That's actually one of the things I'm really looking forward to because myself, Jamal, and Ron, another actor here, have all spent a lot of time inside the, you know, local classrooms and just basically saying, come and see us on stage. So I'm looking forward to all of those students being able to witness what I really do. What it's really
And that educational component of APT is something that some of us don't see when we go up the hill to see a play, but it makes a profound impact on young people in our community. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, of course. It's a joy.
Any last words about Hamlet? We won't say how it ends, in case people haven't seen it yet. And it has lots of surprises every time you see it because it's such a rich play. Thank you all for discussing it with us today, and we can't wait to see it on this up the hill. Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to see you there.
Portable Prologues is a co-presentation of American Players Theater, Orange Tree Imports, and Audio for the Arts Recording Studio. Our sincere thanks to the actors and directors who spoke with us, as well as Sarah Young, Hannah Jo Anderson, and everyone at APT. Your host is Orange Schroeder. Our theme song is Play in the Woods, an original composition written by me for use in these podcasts. I'm Buzz Kemper. Thank you for listening.